Let me ask you a question, Chris. Would you be surprised if I told you that the Navy has credited you with over 160 kills? Do you ever think that you might have seen things or done some things over there that you wish you hadn't?
Oh, that's not me, no.
What's not you?
I don't tell you enough. I'm so proud of you. You're such a great father.
So you're not worried about what might happen?
I'm willing to meet my creator and answer for every shot that I took.
Don't pick it up.
Drop it.
So what, are you in Germany or where?
Well, I'm stateside.
Your home? What are you doing?
I guess I just needed a minute.
The thing that haunts me are all the guys that I couldn't save.
Hey! Tend to my daughter, please, right now!
I'm ready.
Oh, my God!
I'm ready to come home.
That was the audio from the trailer for the film American Sniper. It's going to be the topic. The first topic of choice for my podcast. I'm doing a podcast. This is my first episode of my podcast. Hooray for me. I'm doing a podcast because I figured, the world needs another podcast. So welcome to the podcast. My name is Barry Potter, and we are, as I said, discussing American Sniper. So I don't have a name for my podcast as of yet. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. If I need a name, I mean, right now I'm just hosting it on my BarryPotter.com, so it's kind of like BarryPotter.com podcast. I have an email for the podcast, though, podcast@BarryPotter.com, if you want to email me any comments or questions. If you thought that the way I opened it here with the whole playing the trailers, like, was that too much? Should I not have played the whole trailer? I wasn't sure if I should have, but I did. Shoot me an email. Tell me, I'm dumb. So as I said, this is my first podcast, so you have to forgive me. It's a little rough, the audio maybe not the greatest. I don't have a studio. I am doing what I can here. Yeah, my friend's over. I'm trying to just have some fun, record a podcast. So, but of course, if my podcast ain't that great, it's of course no fault of my first guest, who I think was a very delightful first guest, my good friend Matthew Donahue, who is a film fan and such, so we decided, let's talk about American Sniper. So we discussed the film. It was recorded a little while ago. We kind of discussed it. We were watching it and kind of just giving our thoughts on it as it was on, and just overall discussion about the film. Just a quick little rundown about the film just before we get into it. Of course, it's directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Bradley Cooper, Sienna Miller, written by Jason Hall, based on the autobiography by Chris Kyle. It grossed $349 million domestically, and that's a lot of money. So basically $350, that's a lot. And grossed, made $193 million foreign, so about $543 million worldwide. That's insane. That's a lot of money for a film that cost around $60 to make. So I don't know if that includes marketing or whatever, but still, that's a huge amount of money it made. So yeah, here it is. This is just us babbling along, talking about American Sniper for about 50 minutes. I don't know if it's around that long. So I don't know. Yeah, listen to it, tolerate it as long as you can. Hopefully you enjoy it, and keep doing these things maybe once a month. Hopefully, as they keep going, they'll get better. I'll get better, as I should say, and then they'll just be something that I can keep doing for the fun of it, because it's fun. So thank you, and here it is. First, let me just ask you overall, what was your overall thought of the movie?
Just in general,
what I
thought of the movie. It's not that. I didn't really like it. There's this kind of idea of patriotism in the movie, but it's not fully realized. Like, I mean, the movie it touches on, like, you know, PTSD and also the war, but it never really fully, like, neither side is really fully realized.
Yeah. I think that's the problem I had with it too, where it's like, it feels like every time they would try to question these things, because you're watching along, you're like, okay, this is very patriotic. He's set in his ways. He's always like, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it because I'm saving our country so that these guys won't be coming to our homes, and he's got this greater good in mind. And then every time someone comes to him with the other side of it, like when his one buddy is just getting sick of it, you can tell, and he's like telling him that, like, what, you know, at least you believe in something, and I just don't really know what it's about. And like, oh, okay, here's the other side. It's like our main character, though, the one that we're watching it through his eyes, he just blows it off and then just keeps setting his own ways still. So it's like we're always with him. We're always in his point of view, where it's like, no, he's still doing it for the greater good.
So, yeah, so we're watching it right now, and there was just the scene where through his scope, he sees a guy in a city that apparently is supposed to be empty of people. So the only people who are in there are, you know, possibly bad. And he sees this guy, and he's got this cell phone, and he obviously looks like the guy's looking at soldiers, and he's on a cell phone. Yeah, I don't know why he didn't take the shot right there.
Yeah,
he's such a great sniper.
Well, this is also supposed to be his first kill, so I guess maybe it's like, you know, who's, you know, he doesn't want to, because even like his buddy tells him, like, oh, if you shoot this kid, they're gonna court martial. You'll be in trouble if you shoot and you're wrong. Yeah,
which I have a hard time believing.
snipers out there. Yeah. You can do what you want. Which also, reading about that, is the fact that that's not what happened at all. Obviously, a lot of this movie is not in any way truthful, which is crazy. He writes in his book that there was no kid. It was a woman, and he never shot any kids, but it was a woman who had a grenade. It was something smaller, and that's who he shot. But in the movie, for Hollywood, we're going to make this woman evil. She's going to make a kid do it.
Yeah.
And then when the kid fails, then she'll try to do it.
Giant shell? It looks like an urn-sized
So it's obvious mortar. That it's something bad. So it's like, but that's the major thing with the movie too, is how much everything is so dramatized and fake and crazy. Like, just hear, like, trying to read up about, like, the fact that so many things in it.
Yeah. Like the sniper, the enemy sniper was a totally made up character. Like his rival, the bad guy sniper.
Yeah, the fact that the Olympic winning, which is just total bull. And I think there's like a mention of a sniper, because of course the other side's going to have snipers, but it's like so short in his book.
Yeah.
It's like a paragraph just mentioning that they, and then they take this and they blow it out of proportion. Like it's his, this is his nemesis.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's like, and they make the movie about that. And the scene when he finally gets him is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, because it's like
almost anticlimactic in a way. Cause it's because it's this far away shot, but he does end up getting him, and you're like, okay, yeah.
You know he's going to get it.
The sniper did the sniping thing, right?
Especially the way they do it with, like, he shoots it, and it's a slow motion, and you see the bullet flying, and you're like, what's going on? And that's, like, this weird, like, cutting back and forth of him and the other guy. So it's, like, really intimate, because it means so much. They're each, like, the amazing snipers.
Yeah. So now, what is your feelings about stealing a Bible? Are you for or against it? I think because Bibles are pretty ubiquitous. You used to get them in hotel rooms.
Yeah?
People hand out Bibles for free.
I got a Bible when I was in elementary school.
Uh-huh.
A little red one.
Sure,
I don't know why we got
them. They gave those away on street corners. Yeah. So I think, Bible. He stole a Bible, which is wrong, but I bet you no one in the Bible store would
for the greater good. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He says it in the movie that it's God, country, family. Is how it works. Is that the order?
Is that the order?
I think so. So it's or is it country? Yeah, it's God, then country, then family, or God, family. One of the order though. But basically, and he truly believes that, and he's so hell bent in his ways. So that's what I found interesting. There's a line a quote of him in the book, which I thought was interesting, where he says, "I don't shoot people with Korans. I'd like to, but I don't." which is
what
crazy.
Does that mean, like physically holding a Koran?
Yeah, so basically, like just showing his racism in the sense that, because I think in the
what
book
if
and even
down
in the movie,
the Koran, it doesn't. Like, oh, okay, I won't shoot him.
He owned it, but it's like how much like they call everyone over there savages. They're referred to constantly as savages, and that he's at least I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the hard thing is about the movie because it's such a short like it's like of his actual time over there. I wonder if what the movie would have been like if it was more factually based. Would it be boring? Like, was he just – were they just going into houses and messing with people and trying to figure stuff out? Or – because the whole villain with the screwdriver is completely false and horrible too.
I like to call him the Jewel Sergeant.
The Jewel Sergeant. It's like, what does that even mean to be like the he takes people and he drills them. It's like that – it's so over the top
and
ridiculous.
Drills their legs first.
Yeah.
And then he just drills his brain.
And that's the thing too, I guess, of the Clint Eastwood element that like he's so black and white, and it's like this
if
is the good
a,
guy.
If
this
it was
is the
a better
guy.
Filmmaker, I think they would have made they wouldn't have been on the fence as much. So like the only two characters I think throughout the whole film that kind of recognize that war isn't that fucking great is his brother when he sees his brother again, and his brother's like, you know, fuck this war. And he kind of takes umbrage with that because he's enjoying the war, it sounds like.
Yeah, he doesn't want to leave.
And then there's the other guy in his platoon who basically just says, like, why are we here? But that's just, it's an offline.
But even that, because he's the one who says that, and then the next scene, or shortly after, he's the next one that gets it. He gets, like, shot through the throat or whatever. And then it's his funeral. It's his funeral where they're reading the note, the letter he had written, like, 2 weeks before, where he's basically against it all. And it's like, and then that's even another moment where they're like, oh, they're showing the other side. Great. So then the wife confronts him in the truck, and she's like, what'd you think about his letter?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, good. We're getting to some of this. And then his response is just like, well, and he tells her the logistics of exactly what happened. And he's like, but if you ask me, when he wrote that letter 2 weeks ago, that's when he got himself killed. So it's like, you're just going back to, you know, it's...
So then the story could be about how he has to, like, you know, like, there's a different kind of survival in being this army sniper. He has to, you know, he has to kind of, like, bolster himself against this kind of negativity. But the movie doesn't even really draw on that either. It's so on the fence one way or the other.
And he doesn't, they don't... They could build him so strongly. Like, we get pieces of it. Every time he'll come back and he has trouble relating to it, you know, because of the PTSD and then everything going. But also just that he's too proud to admit that he has anything wrong with him.
And I also like this where, okay, in this scene, he's watching TV and he's in, like, an American base somewhere or an embassy somewhere overseas was bombed.
Yes.
And that's what was the thing that made him want to join the army? That an overseas base got destroyed?
Yeah, which doesn't make...
It wasn't even 9/11. It was just some base that got blown up.
Says he joined... He said it was the 1998 U.S. embassy bombings on TV.
Wow.
But had nothing to do with his real-life decision to go into the army. And then even that part is crazy, too. And that's the thing that's, like, on the grand scheme of things, and I was trying to compare it to other movies of, like, Saving Private Ryan or just, like, Vietnam movies, where it's, like, I think people have come out now and figured out pretty much that the whole Iraq conflict, the whole this particular war was completely unnecessary. It shouldn't have happened. They went in for the wrong reasons, and everything was wrong about it. So to make a movie where it's a hero who's doing it for the right reasons, and he feels that way, and in the end, he gets to feel that way. Whereas, like, in a Vietnam movie, it's horrible.
Yeah,
nobody's happy.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
It's always bad, and you realize it was a terrible war. And at least with Saving Private Ryan, you feel like it's a war for proper reasons.
Yeah.
Like, it was a just war.
Now, in the movie, I like this sequence here, where they're all doing they're on the ground kicking their legs, and they're getting sprayed with water. Is it, like, really cold water, or...
It's got to be high pressure.
It sounds like it's just really annoying. Just, to, like, at one point, the guy was just spraying his nuts area, and he just...
Well, I mean, it looks pretty high pressure. I'm assuming it's high pressure cold water, and it sucks. And then also, when they're in the mud, I'm
the
assuming
mud,
that's
I get,
really cold.
Because I assume that's really cold mud, right? I mean, but that...
It's just such a quick overview of it. It's like we just got to get back to him out there killing.
Okay, this scene here where he meets his lady, she drinks a lot of whiskey.
And like big cups full.
Their idea of shots of whiskey are just like little cups of whiskey. Yeah.
That's a lot of whiskey she was drinking.
And so when she does throw up, it makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah. Which is, it's interesting. Sienna Miller gets to play.
Well, they gave the guy a paisley shirt. The guy who was hitting on Sienna Miller at first.
2014 was the year of her playing the wife of a real life man who was murdered.
Well, what else did she?
She's the wife in Foxcatcher.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And she emotes so much in this.
Way to be typecast.
That's why every scene where she's on the phone with him feels really weird. He just calls her in the worst times possible.
Yeah.
She's like coming out of the hospital and then he's under fire and she's just screaming in the middle of the street. And he just, every instance, she just gets to hear horrible stuff on the other line at the end of the phone.
This movie really, really points out that Bradley Cooper has one eye that's higher than the other. Every shot of him, of his face, you just see one eye is just like an inch, like half an inch above the other.
It's a little bit, just raised up a little. And I actually, that's the only thing I really took away from this. I was like, yeah, Bradley Cooper's a solid actor. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
He carries this movie and its ridiculousness from start to finish. And it's, I don't know.
This is like a project for him. Like, he
bought the rights.
From the very beginning.
He produced it. And they went, that's, like, and you think about, too, first David O. Russell was attached to direct.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that would have been. And then Spielberg.
It would have been definitely better.
It would have been better. Yeah. It would have been different. And it would have been interesting.
And then the Spielberg, it just doesn't seem like a Spielberg movie.
No, because like you'd figure that Spielberg.
Those are huge shots of whiskey she's drinking.
And it's, a lot of Jameson.
Yeah.
That's like.
It's the tastiest of all whiskeys, but it's huge.
Yeah.
He's just drinking a beer.
Shit. Well, he's doing little shots, but she did three, right? Just in a span of about 30 seconds. And she's fine.
Yeah.
Actually, going to another point, I'm thinking of the idea of the war, of the fact that the thing that they catapult him into going to Iraq and being so obsessed with needing to fight is when they see 9/11 happen, which is the craziest thing of all, because you have to figure there's got to be a lot of people in the States, a lot of people who've eaten this movie up, made over $100 million its opening weekend. It's made so much money, highest grossing R-rated movie in North America, and it's fact for so many people. And it's kind of crazy. It just feels like it's very propaganda, and it's just going to, like, people just breeding hatred from it, where it's like 9/11 to the Iraqi war, there shouldn't be any connection as if justifying it in any means. And it's weird that that's what this movie is. I don't like her delivery, too, when she goes, oh, no, when he runs over and they see the bombs and the building collapsing. Maybe Clint should have done a take two on that one.
Well, that's to be fair, I like a lot of the action scenes are really well put together.
Yeah.
Lots of good choices. But, just the overall movie is, I don't know, it really wasn't about anything.
Well, it's just because it feels really poured on pretty thick, that patriotism, and that he's doing the right thing, and he's so set in his ways that he wants to. He has his reasons for fighting his war.
It's interesting because it reminds me of, remember when Wolf of Wall Street came out?
Yeah,
and there was lots of reports of investment bankers going to it and just cheering at scenes, and they didn't really get the movie, but it's all very great and energetic stuff, but you shouldn't really be cheering over this stuff.
And there was a little bit of backlash for it just because people are liking this movie for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. And I think this movie is definitely like that. People 100% love it for the wrong reasons, but it's just because it's so milquetoast, it's so middle of the road that it's easy to fall into, because every non-white person you see is
evil.
Just bad, yeah.
Every Arab-type person are just evil in every way. And that's the thing, too, is, even at least with, Wolf of Wall Street, sure, you can feel that way and get all, excited about it and cheering for him, but it ends horribly for him. And you see that. And you see that it's not – he doesn't live that way his whole life. Whereas with this man, he's fine. He's vindicated for what he did. And even with, like, dealing with the PTSD, it's like, I can deal with it. And then he just does.
And he does a great job. Like, and he helps other soldiers. That's how great he does the PTSD.
And I get
– PTSD.
Yeah, and I get – like, and that's fair because, I mean, from what I've read, that is, like, he – that really did help. Like, he did do that. He did help, and he was big on that. And that makes sense to feel that you're still worth, like, you're still helping your fellow soldiers. He can't go back to fight, but if he can help them here, sure. But it's just, like, how they sugarcoat it here, where, like, just the fact he's having fun with his family, and then the wife's like, oh, it's great to have you back, and I know how hard it's been for you. Yeah.
Because there's the one scene where he's about to kill a dog, because it's like playing with his child,
beat his dog, because he got the belt out ready to go.
Belt a dog.
Had some good laughs with that one.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is he's having a hard time dealing with it. And then I don't like that the way they portray even the man who is the one that ends up murdering him, that it's like showing him through the thing. He just looks like this seedy, evil guy. Yeah. She's so suspicious as she's closing the door. Oh no! This
guy who's on edge, like
it's like that's not really, and like it feels like they did a disservice to him by making this movie. The only thing it did is just it's going to get more people signing up, and it's just that propaganda-y feeling. But if they would actually like made a movie about him and about what he went through and how he had to deal with it after the fact, and maybe even like pay attention to the guy who murdered him too, because reading about him, like he's had a horrible life the way he was over fighting there as well, and now he couldn't deal with things coming back, and then he was just like how he was just really messed up from it and trying to get better, and every time he'd go to like the VA for help, it would be like they just always just like, oh, he's fine, and send him home.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like there's no showing that there's no support here. Like, you could have made a really solid movie where you're showing the actual problems that these guys have, which is more about when
you
they
would
come
have to
back.
Focus on that and less
for
on
sure.
actual sniping.
But that's the thing. It's like, oh, this guy, he's just – all we know about him is he's got the most confirmed kills, so we're going to make it about that.
Mm.
We have to make it about showing all the kills because he kills. Hoorah, America. That's what we're best at. And loving his guns. And there's the 9/11 scene.
Look at his eye. Yeah, his eye is higher up. It always looks like his head's tilted, but it's not.
Are you sure he just doesn't always tilt his head? Like his eyebrow, how it's kind of up like that?
His full eye is – it looks like he's...
Yeah, you're right.
See how his face is lopsided?
Yeah, the left one's higher than the right one.
Maybe that's good for sniping.
Yeah, maybe he did that on purpose.
Get that higher eye.
He's murdering away. So that's... It's a good killer. Did you know that afterwards, when he was back, he was Sarah Palin's bodyguard for a time?
Really?
Interesting, eh?
Yeah.
So he did stuff like he had.
Was that real though? Because he made up a lot of stories.
I heard about some crazy stuff he was saying. Because I guess
there's the Katrina stuff, the New Orleans,
that he was on top of the Superdome,
like,
the one in there.
Astrodome.
But him and another fellow were up there sniping off people who were suspicious. Like he claimed had said that he had either gotten 30 or between the two of them had gotten 30.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't... It's just a guy just sniping people off.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. And then there's the other story of him, like, where he was going to be carjacked by two guys.
Yeah.
And then he says that he reached and pulled out his gun and he shot the one guy twice and then he shot the other guy twice.
And there's no report of anything
nothing.
Close to that.
Yeah, and, like, no one... Like, people would have known about that. Like, some crazy thing, like, when the cop showed up, he said who he was and they put his name in the machine and it was just like, call this special number. And it was like, really like, call. And so it's like, basically he's got immunity because he's a war hero who kills everybody.
Now they, in this scene, it's the wedding, they're dancing, but they've gotten the call that they are going to war. And they're all pretty excited about it.
They're really pumped. They're like, he's showing
his little
badge. Yeah. And my wife's just got to deal with it. So hopefully he's got to impregnate her before he goes, because she's pregnant when he's gone.
Yeah.
So he doesn't leave right away.
Ah, tour one.
Oh, there's his Bible.
The stolen Bible.
But it's like, you get to know his ragtag crew a little bit.
Yeah.
The his soldier buddies. But it's interesting that, okay, remember when he's on the top of the building?
Yeah.
He's with the one buddy, and it's like the the clothes are hanging down or the sheets are hanging down. And then the evil sniper guy is on the lookout for them. So it hits his buddy on like his metal plate thing and it reflects off and gets him in the face.
Yeah, sure.
This is all. It's really awesome makeup there too. It looked really good. It was pretty sweet. So he's, so they get him and they take him and then he visits him later in the hospital when he's back home. And his buddy proposed to his girlfriend after all. And because it's the ridiculousness of that whole scene where that whole stuff opens with them driving, being like, I did it. I bought her an engagement ring. So he's like, oh, we're building up this guy's future, which looks promising, eh? And the whole back and forth about that. And of course, something's going to happen to him.
When they walked in on the balcony, I remember saying to Addie, like, yeah, oh, he's going to die. And then he got shot immediately. Hate to be so cynical, but the moment they walked out there, I was like, oh, he's dead.
Well, when he was driving with them, and as soon as he was like, I got her an engagement ring, I expected a bullet right then and there. Just that old cliche. It's like, just because you wait.
Bounce off the ring.
The interesting story about that guy, they mentioned him, the real life soldier who was hit and it ricocheted off his face. Well, he ended up dying 3 years later from complications in reconstructive face surgery.
Okay.
So it's like, the movie left that bit out.
Yeah.
That
some would argue that's even more cinematic.
I know, why not? But it's like
a series of surgeries. The one that just doesn't go well.
And it's like it's just they have to tone down the actual sadness because we have to have some positives come from this, which is more than just our hero.
Now does he pee there? Isn't there a scene where he gets up and there's like a big...
It's because like he's there for a while, and then like it smells like piss in here, and then they look at him, and then next to him's like a puddle.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. He just kind of turns to his side, and then
even truckers pee into like bottles and stuff.
Maybe he just like he's that dedicated of a sniper, he can't look away. So it's like I got to piss. So he just kind of tilts to his side, and then he urinates next to himself, and then that's that. But there's that whole dramatic scene when when with the guy with the bazooka. And then he shoots the guy with the bazooka, and then the little kid's going to go pick up the bazooka.
He can't operate the bazooka.
But he's just so conflicted. Like, am I going to shoot another kid? You got this big bazooka? Could have shot near the kid, scared him. Like, the next one's coming at your head, kid. But I guess, you can't really.
He's in a real cherry spot. Like, he's in one spot that all the bad people kind of, flock to.
And then I don't know factually. I'm assuming they've got phones, so they could call home if they wanted. I mean, how often do they call home? A lot. And I'm just here sniping. I just killed me another Arab. Doing what I do.
Yeah, it's like, can you call on your off time?
Especially how awkward this scene is, where she's like, "Do you want me to talk dirty to you?" And it's he kind of does. I mean, is that serious? Is it? Does she talk dirty to him while he's shooting kids?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if the government wasn't listening in on that conversation.
Aw, showing all the military deaths in Iraq. it's crazy. She just
brings it on herself watching CNN.
I know. Why is she watching CNN? Yeah, I can't get over it just constantly as you watch it, but it's just... It should be more horrific. It should be bad. I wonder if he hadn't been murdered. I mean, I think the book was optioned before he was murdered.
During the development he died.
So, I wonder if it would have been the same, because if he were alive and this were made, would it be made the same way? Would criticisms fall on him personally? I wonder what he would even say. Like, I mean, the Jesse Ventura thing's funny. That
he beat up at, someone. He already punched out a guy who later on he kind of, admitted that it was Jesse Ventura.
Because, in a radio show or something, he said that it was Jesse Ventura that they were having some gathering with...
Ex-wrestler governor of a northern state.
He, said something bad about Navy SEALs or about how he said something... Because he was dissing the war in Iraq, so then told me quiet, and then he says punched him out. But then it's like, so Jesse Ventura is sued for defamation, and then... So then after he died, so now he's dead.
Yeah.
Jesse Ventura is still suing him.
Yeah.
So, like, the wife had to take over and the family had to, you know, take over this lawsuit.
Yeah.
And then Jesse Ventura won.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just like, it's kind of like, if you're Jesse Ventura, that's got to be kind of a shitty win.
Yeah.
You know, you, I mean, sure, you the guy. The
dead soldier's money, wife's money.
Yeah, he shouldn't have said that, but, I mean, did you really need to keep suing him? He died. I mean, he's dead. Maybe that's bad enough. Maybe you could just count that to karma and leave it at that. But no, he still sued him, and he got a bunch of money for it.
Yeah, he's dead, so technically you win.
Yeah. He won't be bad enough anymore, Jesse Ventura. You should just thank the crazy PTSD soldier that shot him.
Yeah. They do make him out to be this kind of like soldier for all seasons. Like, he basically, he... Like, he's a great sniper, but he's also great on the ground.
Yeah.
And he's...
he knows what he's doing, and he leads guys, and he's like
there's... He is a leader of men.
Yeah, he was a badass Navy SEAL.
Originally, didn't they want, the guy, you know, from Guardians of the Galaxy with his
face? I think Bradley Cooper wanted...
He's in all of the movies.
He's in everything now. He's the only one they'll hire for things. Jurassic Park, put him in it.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones, that's our man.
Sure, yeah.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. He's going to be the only movie star.
Well, don't count out Chris Evans just yet.
Chris Evans, that's Kirk, right?
Captain America.
I was thinking of... Who's Captain Kirk?
Another
Chris.
Is his name Chris? Chris Pine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he gets emotional. He gets emotional when there's really good performances at the Oscars. He was crying, was it after the Everything Is Awesome song, right? That's what he was crying about? Yeah.
He agreed.
Yeah, Everything's Awesome. Yeah. It made him cry. Yeah, it was a touching moment in the Oscars.
Standing out.
Oprah was freaking out for some reason.
Yeah.
Because she figured...
Well, she's a big Tegan and Sarah fan, though.
That's right, that's what it was. She loves Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah, she's all about Tegan and Sarah.
Of course, this movie did win one Oscar.
Was it a sound?
I think it was sound. Something or other, yeah.
Sound editing.
It was sound mixing or editing. It was...
I think it was... I want to say editing, because I think the mix went to...
Whiplash.
Yeah.
It's basically like... For some reason, Whiplash wasn't nominated, so they gave it to this. Because if Whiplash was nominated in that category, it would have won.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand how those things work. But I guess they had to give it something.
And also, war movies are a big winner when it comes to like sounds, editing.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
You got all those bullet sounds, gun sounds, people getting shot sounds.
Click, click, and the... People yelling.
And footsteps, lots of footsteps.
Dirka, dirka, and
stuff
of that such.
The sound of people praying.
Yes. The sound of him wearing hats. He loved wearing hats.
And he's always taking his hat on and off.
Yeah. You
just hear that shuffling of a hat.
Interesting fact about the real life man. Didn't wear helmets, always wore hats. He just always liked wearing a hat. Yeah. Wore helmets once in a while, but he liked wearing hats.
He was a brave soul. Didn't need a helmet. He was all about ball caps.
Well, you don't need a helmet if you're up in a tower sniping people like a coward. Yeah, speaking of which, what do you think about what Michael Moore said about that?
Well, it sounds like something he would say. He would be against the movie to begin with.
That's true.
And then...
I think it's because his...
I could see him making a petty remark like that.
His uncle was... killed by a sniper in World War II, so their family was, or he was raised to believe that snipers were cowards or something.
Yeah, which is kind of like weird. It's like your uncle died from a sniper. There go all snipers are assholes. It's like, well, yeah, that's because of your bias against snipers. If your uncle was saved by a sniper, I'm sure you'd be like,
that's the thing too.
Snipers are the best thing in the world.
Because I mean, they, you can't help.
They're like, angels from above.
Yeah, that strong argument on the other side where, you know, They murder the bad guys, so if you're affiliated to the bad guy, you don't like him.
Yeah.
But if you're affiliated with the good guy, then you'd probably be pretty happy with him because he's saving your people's lives who are down on the ground. But I read something, too, which I found interesting, that Navy SEALs in particular, kind of part of their training, I guess, in the sense, or at least from what I gathered from there, is that they're kind of trained in the sense that they don't necessarily believe in PTSD, or that they can overcome it. That their training and the way they are is like
they're above it.
Like they're too proud. Like if you're a Navy SEAL, it's like F that. We don't get that PTSD.
Yeah.
And like that element of it, where that prideness of just being such a badass. And so it's like, you know, if you read it, it's like reading that, I can see, you know, him being very.
And that's an interesting struggle that could have been, like, addressed in the movie.
And I think that's the thing I take away from this, is that the bigger story about all this, all the glorifying of all the bad guys you have him killing, is what he deals with after the fact. That's the only time I was really interested, how he deals with coming home. And yet that's all glossed over, because he just sits there. Hey, here's a drill, here's a lawnmower, and then nothing really kind of comes of that. And then all of a sudden, it's like he's taking guys to gun ranges, and he's fine again. He's going to play video games with his son, and everything's all right. Everything's just glossed over. It's interesting, more of his internal struggle, his brain. Because it's got to be messed up. Why he loses his shit when his kid's crying.
Yeah, in this scene where he's looking in on his child in the hospital, and the child's crying, and he's about to go ham. He's about to freak out that his baby's crying. It's a baby. It's going to wail.
Babies cry.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously this baby wasn't sick that day.
No.
They were able to get a real baby in. Excuse me, miss. My baby's crying.
Can you make it stop? Can you stop my baby? Baby's crying.
And he just cannot handle the fact that and she doesn't
want to
hear it.
Yeah, I do like though the nurse is just like, what the fuck do you want me to put? She just ignores him.
She doesn't know he's the legend. He should have told her about the kills he had.
Punching the glass?
Yeah.
Watching it without the sound's pretty good. The fake baby scene.
Watch the hand. Watch. Either she's doing that or they CG'd that. They might be her doing it. But that was weird, like, because it had a little bit of movement in the fingers. But yet, like, there's even the part where he picks it up. I freeze framed it because you're looking, and it's just like a no emotion, flat looking plastic face. Yeah. And I mean, I it's getting blown out of proportion, obviously, but it's fascinating because.
It's like this. It's a weird kind of hubris that you would shoot that scene with an obviously fake baby and think that no one would notice. Like, you know, you can do that. You can do that exact same scene you could just shoot it differently. You don't need to have the baby fully in frame. A big fake baby fully. Like, you could shoot around a fake baby.
Yeah.
But they don't. They go out of their way to have full baby in every shot. Super fake it looks.
Yeah, and it's...
Oh, he's hugging the dead baby. Or, yeah, dead baby.
No, it is lifeless.
It does look like it's a dead baby, yeah.
The infamous dead baby scene.
It was crying so much.
Oh, there's his thumb going. And I love, too, that every time I see a snapshot of still, it's just that shot of him holding the baby and looking up real serious and like almost sinister-like. It's like, that's the fake baby scene. Kill
that baby.
But you're Bradley Cooper. This is a passion project of yours. You're the producer on it. Maybe you tell Clint, we got money in the budget. We can wait a day to get a real baby.
I think you could still do that scene without having a big fake baby in every shot.
Yeah. My favorite bit here. This is where it opens with, I bought my girlfriend that engagement ring. Everything is okay. Yes.
Blonde ambition.
Because he's not looking at the road. He's looking at his buddy.
He's laughing, having a great time.
Everyone's having such a good time.
Bought my wife a ring and 3 more days and then I get to retire.
Exactly. And that's why it felt like this.
I am getting too old for this shit.
Every time they're talking to, even when they're on the rooftop and it's like, are you going to tell her you got it from here? No, I'm going to tell her from there. What if she looks into it? So they're still like having a good time back and forth. And I mean, I guess there were lighter moments over there. I mean, especially if it's your third time there, you figure you're pretty, you're never going to get killed. You're indestructible. Maybe it was lighter times. Maybe, I mean, he'd rather be here than at home with his annoying wife and fake baby.
Yeah.
I think this is the scene where we get to see.
Yeah.
But I like, too, the contrast, the one slight bit of like, oh, the villain sniper, he has a wife and baby too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's just like him.
Just like the
yin to the yang, or the yang to the yin, or whatever.
How is that savage like a real human?
That looks like a fake baby too. It looks like the wife's holding a fake baby.
That looks like a fake baby.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, it definitely mirrors the other family. They've got a dead baby that they pretend is alive.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he was there.
Timothy Olympus.
He has an Olympic medal.
Apparently there was a reality show Chris Kyle was on.
What?
Yeah, he was No, it was like some weird thing, and he was partnered with Dean Cain, which would explain why Dean Cain came out with tweets against Seth Rogen.
Oh, yeah, he was all about it, yeah.
Yeah, because Seth Rogen, when he said this was just like the propaganda film at the end of Inglourious Basterds, which it kind of is.
Yeah.
But it's like Dean Cain was, so I guess he buddy-buddy, because Dean Cain, I think, is really Republican. If that matters anyways, but it was like some weird reality show, and then it got a lot of criticism afterwards because they said it was kind of glorifying.
What was the reality? It was like he sniping say, yeah. And Dean Cain was pretending to be Superman?
Yes, that's all Dean Cain is good for.
That's all he's been known for, I think. And also, didn't he host Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Oh, did he?
TV show?
So it was an NBC-created reality TV show. It was him and seven other veterans, coupling them with actors, athletes, and the like. He was partnered with Dean Cain. The show was called Stars Earn Stripes.
Oh, okay.
And he fired at plastic targets while the camera installed inside his helmet was the crisp POV cam captured the action.
So, what, it's like taking celebrities and then making them do military type things?
But it's taking war vets and teaming them with a celebrity, I guess, and showing them... Yeah, because I guess...
So that they can get their stripes.
Yeah, stars earn stripes. So it's like these celebrity-esque people, so the likes of Dean Cain, that kind of quality, get teamed with real-life veterans and are taught how to kill? I don't know, I kind of want to see the show now.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I'm glad it doesn't exist still. That's conflicting. Yeah, I wonder what Bradley Cooper's political views are. Is he a Republican?
I never really think about Bradley
Cooper. I don't
Cooper,
think... So. I mean, for sure. And once, I mean, when I watch a movie like this, it gets me thinking, because as much as I'm not an American, I can't help but be fascinated by that world. Uh-huh. So you always want to think, like, what? Because, you know that Clint Eastwood is a Republican.
Yeah.
He's not, like, as hardcore Republican, but he's... At least has those elements there. So
speaking to empty chairs.
Speaking to empty chairs. I mean, that was to me. I thought that was amazing. I loved it. I was like, it almost make me want to be a Republican if I
really was American. Clint Eastwood being delirious on stage,
talking to that chair, sold me. I thought it was amazing. Wow. He was doing a great bit. It made sense to me. I thought it was clever. I thought it was great. And I think if he were a Democrat and did it at a Democratic convention. So a bunch of Democrats, they would have eaten it up.
Well, I think they would have had a more contemporary person. I feel that Clint Eastwood's probably a little too far gone to be a selling point. What was he like? What were some of the things he was saying to the chair? He was having like a conversation with. It was like supposed to be Obama, right?
Supposed to be Obama, and he was dissing him, being like, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that. No, we did this, so that was a bad plan." I think it was on the likes of that, like just basically. So he was making his points using a clever way to do it, but
in the most befuddled old man kind of like
for sure, but crazy old Republicans, half of them racist, half of them gun crazy, half of them rich, some of them rich. They're all just they're not going to get that. They're not going to eat that up. You need the young hipster Democrats who don't vote anyways.
The Lady Gagas of the world.
You need the Lady Gagas of the world to eat that shit up. I'm curious now what Lady Gaga thought about that. She probably thought it was amazing. I don't know.
It was performance art.
I think I honestly thought it was good. It's funny because I don't know.
That makes you weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't give Clint Eastwood much credit in life, but I like that he did that. It felt like a non-Republican way to be Republican. And that's why nobody liked it.
It seemed crazy. He was just an old man, who his faculties seemed to be in question. And he's just kind of like chatting with a chair, an empty chair.
But we know he's all there.
I don't know that.
Because since then, he's made hit films like Jersey Boys and American Sniper.
Did you ever see Jersey Boys?
No, but I found out, though, Jersey Boys and American Sniper are the first films he's shot digitally. Okay. This was his foray into digital. Which is interesting.
The auteur that he is. Yes. He finally switched over to digital.
So I'm going
to
do it.
So Jersey Boys also came out last year.
Yeah, that's a...
But then, so J. Edgar, 2011. And then the year before that, Hereafter. And then the year before that, Invictus. And then the year before that, Gran Torino and The Changeling. Like, he's a solid filmmaker in that he makes a movie a year. I like this scene. So he's at the bar. He's back home. He's at the bar, and his wife calls him and says, "Hey, so I heard you're back." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm at the bar, just drinking." She's like, "Why don't you come home? I would love to see you." Dude, well, just lie.
She guilts him a little
more. Say you're at the
though.
Airport or something. Don't tell her you're at the bar just drinking.
Thing is, he can't lie to her. He doesn't say he says he's stateside. But he doesn't tell her he's at a bar drinking. But the thing that bothers me is, he's just like, I'm stateside. And then her is just like, "Well, why don't you come home? Kids want to see you. I want to." It's like she's just guilting the crap out of him. He's been through so much horribleness. You figured, like, I know she wants to see him. I know it's important that he's with his family. But doesn't she know from the three other times he's come home that he's been messed up every time he comes home? And he's probably been worse each time that, you know, maybe he does need a minute to think. He's been through some horrible stuff.
I got to disagree. I think if you come home from that terrible war, and you call your wife and say, "I'm finished, I'm ready to come home," and you should probably come home, say hi to your wife and kids, and then go out and drink your sorrows.
That's true. But, I mean, all she ever does to him is bitch every time he comes home.
Is that the moral of the story? Is that's why he kept going on tours? Is the
that's what it seemed
nag,
like.
Nag, 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 nag.
It's like, okay.
I'm just fucking giving you this. Giving you the what for.
I honestly think his real family was his SEAL team. And then when they all died around him, he was like, now I gotta try to raise that boy to be my SEAL team.
So you can give him video games.
Yes.
To prime him.
Let's play some Skylanders.
So this scene, his kids are running around, and he is just planted on the chair,
it's like, watching
TV.
He's watching
except
something good.
For, there's nothing on the TV.
No, but we hear the sounds. He's gotta be watching something.
Oh, no. So, like, isn't that fucking super creepy for his family? He's just sitting there, staring at a blank TV.
Especially when the wife's
like a goddamn mannequin.
Come outside. Come on, it's nice out. He just doesn't move or react to her.
Yeah. And what the fuck's wrong with the kids that they're running around and their catatonic father's just staring at nothing. And they're like, that's dad, whatever.
What do you think of the fact that we don't get the money shot in this movie? We don't get... It cuts to black, and it's like he was murdered.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, and this is a spoiler alert, but if you see, like, Foxcatcher, you get the money shot.
Yeah.
You really feel it outpaced, and it's just like, I don't know, like, they didn't do it in this because they felt like it was dishonoring his legacy or just a bad taste? Like, why not just feel that? Feel the, because it's almost like they'd have to delve more into the person that murdered him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is also important. That would have been more fascinating to me to see, because we don't, all we know is this creepy guy shows up at their house, the wife feels uneasy, and then he's been murdered.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, this guy also has PTSD. He's also horribly troubled, and he murdered them because he's messed in the head.
Yeah, he's not evil. Even though the only time we see him, he looks like,
he looks
like a villain.
He looks like a child rape and murderer.
Yeah,
he looks horrible.
Yeah.
And then just her like looking like, I don't trust him. I still don't trust him. Closing the door, and it's just no. It's just in actuality, the wife I don't believe ever met the man or saw him because it was him and a buddy of his that actually went and picked that guy up.
Yeah,
that guy had murdered Chris Kyle and he killed Chris Kyle and Chris Kyle's friend. Who was with them? Then so that was American Sniper. So what would you give American Sniper? I recently updated my Letterbox, so I gave it a star rating.
I'm looking on Letterbox. I see you gave it 2 stars.
I gave it 2 stars out of 5.
I gave it 3 stars.
Okay. Okay, so here's the plan. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. And I still haven't figured out the best way to do this yet. So right now the plan is I'm going to ask you 10 questions. And you have to answer them as quickly as possible because time is a factor. I guess I'll cut you off at a certain time if you don't have them answered in time. I'm still figuring this out, and we'll figure it out. So, here we go. Now we'll start the timer, and as soon as this goes, here we go. What is your favorite Clint Eastwood movie?
Heartbreak Ridge.
Which of these films will be the bigger disappointment? The new Star Wars, the new Jurassic Park?
Well, Jurassic Park is going to be here.
Yeah. What's your favorite Kanye West album?
Yeezus.
Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds?
Reynolds.
Chris Pratt or Chris Evans?
Pratt.
Emma Stone or Emma Watson?
Stone.
Uzi or Ari?
I'm not going to answer that one. That would pass. Best.
Is Chris Kyle a hero?
It depends. It's not a yes or no question, is it?
Oh, favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Donatello.
Who would win a fight today between Donald Sutherland and Morgan Freeman?
Freeman.
All right, that's 10. You did it in 56 seconds. So, I guess I'll set the 1 minute as the cutoff. You did all right.
Okay.
Although, I'm going to credit you with 8, because I don't think you answered Chris Kyle Hero or Uzi Ari.
I didn't answer which cat I liked more. Because Uzi and Ari are my two cats, and obviously I'm not going to choose one or the other.
There's always one better than the other.
Well, you only had the one cat, so...
And I wouldn't pick her if I had
she's
another.
She's pretty terrible, yeah.
I picked something terrible. Different.
And is Chris Klein an American hero?
Chris Kyle.
Chris Kyle.
I respect the man.
Christopher Kyle.
Christopher Kyle.
Mr. Kyle.
Well, that's a good question, though. In the end, is he an American hero? Is he... Or I just said, is he a hero? But regardless...
Hero.
How do you define what a hero is? All right, well, I did the questions and such, and we did some extensive talking about American Sniper, and I think I learned a lot, and we both think it's a pretty crappy movie, I think.
It's not great.
Made a lot of money. Made a lot of money.
Very well-moneyed movie.
But just because it makes money doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's to Clint Eastwood, and I hope he doesn't die soon, and I hope he makes more movies.
And hopefully he makes that sequel to American Sniper on the other end.
Yeah, American Sniper. Yeah, exactly.
Of what the ramifications of.
Ah, oh, if only. If only. It would make no money, but it would be beautiful. But, yeah, that's cool. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem, Barry. Thanks and, for having me on the show.
You'll be back again when we watch Passion of the Christ.
I can't wait. That sounds awesome. I'm all about that.
No, I want to do that. So we'll get some episodes under my belt, and then we'll see how this goes. Rock and roll.
Excellent.
There it is. That was the discussion about American Sniper. So hope you enjoyed that. And also, as you heard afterwards, I did a little fun game there that I'm trying to do with my guests, I guess, where I'm just going to ask a bunch of questions, you know, rapid fire, really quick, kind of relating to the person and just to kind of, I don't know, just for the heck of it, thought it'd be fun. So that was good. Good sport, Mr. Donahue. So thanks again to Mr. Matthew Donahue. He has a pretty sweet blog site that I like to go to, so I think you should go to it too. It's called Monopolistically. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm not really good at words. I have to read it phonetically. And so it's one of them words. But anyways, it's monopolistically.tumblr.com. And check it out, because it's a fun site. I go to it regularly. But yeah, thanks again to him, and thanks for listening. Again, you can email me, podcast@barrypotter.com, if you want to say, hey, cool, or you're dumb. I don't care, whatevs. I'll talk about it. So, yeah, thanks, y'all. And I'll hopefully check in, you know, have another episode next month. Probably watching another movie with another friend, and we'll be talking about it. So it'll be loads of fun. Thanks.